Hey, this is Brian Jum. Welcome to the SAI Million Dollar PDR Podcast. We go over actionable tips that have served my business well over the last 30 years, and hopefully they'll be beneficial to you too. What is going on, everybody? It is a beautiful Sunday, March 10th. I'm not going to tell you whose birthday it is, but in lieu of gifts, you could simply just send me some cash. But anyway, enough with the fake jokes. Let's move on. This is Brian Jump. Welcome to the SAI Service Marketing Podcast. So let's go through it. Let's get right after this. No fluff, no muff. Let's just be tough. Last night, Junior was on the bump for LSU, did a great job, very proud of him. It's always tough to be the parents or family of a pitcher because you're always just holding on with bated breath. Stay healthy, don't get hurt, don't give up the big one, you know, on. He did great, got through five innings. And this is after coming off last year with TJ. So Tommy John, for those of you that aren't baseball people, AKA arm surgery. So yeah, everything's good. Really proud of the kid. Kid's such a competitor. And his work ethic is just, must take that after his mom. So I say that in case she listens to this episode. But yeah, so really proud. They won, got the win 8-2. LSU is now 14-1. And this is his draft year. So he's draft eligible. So we're hoping that everything goes along swimmingly. But anyway, so happy about that. This week at the Dentco Studios, we got our chandelier hung up. We're super excited about that. Got to be fancy for our fancy clients. We got our Persian Turkish rugs out. So we're kind of sprucing up the vibe, if you will, the aesthetic. Is it necessary, you're probably asking? No. Hell no. It's not even beyond now. No, not at all. Could that money have been spent in better ways? Yes, depending upon what your strategy, what you're thinking about. But anyway, love that hat, by the way. That's like my favorite hat. Talking to the boss. But yeah, we could have spent the money better. But we did hang a chandelier. We'll probably post that up sometime. This was the week of train wrecks, which I don't know about you guys, but if you in the dent repair industry and you're a PDR tech and you have just a string of like absolute epic smashes. I'm talking a Corolla with two fenders, guys. I'm pretty fast for my 33 years in the biz. I was 18 hours into both these fenders. It was this poor older lady. I'm a sucker for old people that are nice. And this Ken and Barbie, that's their names. They met on a dating website like 45 years ago, he told me. And the cutest little couple. She's got like this lazy eye kind of going off to the left side. And they're like these little short little people. And I don't know. Nothing wrong with being short unless you hear that song from Randy Newman. Which you should go look it up. It's pretty funny. But I'm dating myself by telling you about that one because nobody even knows who Randy Newman is. Really famous musician, songwriter from probably the 70s. Wrote a ton of popular hits and then TV stuff. But anyway, I digress. Kicking ass on this Corolla and because of these old people. But yeah, to get it right, silver, of course, crushed. It was good money. I think we were $1,700 or $1,800, but we also threw a bumper in there and did all kinds of extra shit for them. Why? Because we like them and they were super cool people. And then I had a Tiguan that was this fender. The body lines in some of the Volkswagens and the Audis, they have a reverse double inverse or a compound curve body line, which is really kind of it's a pain in the ass is what it is. The Corolla just has a concave and then a flat, you know, 90 degree on the fender. This thing inverts, so you've got to push to a curve off of a body line, which is just not fun. And then it's a compound curve, so you got it curving, you know, laterally and longitudinally. So what does that mean? It means pain in the ass and a lot of time. So anyway, but we'll post that up too. And then there was one other one. I don't know. Actually, a couple others. I had a Lexus sneak in from a longtime client. He had a family get together, had to get his car fixed because all the boys, this is cool. They're all like 30 years old, the cousins. They all line up their cars when the family comes over and they all kind of have like a little mini car show, which I think is pretty bitching. He's like, Brian, there's no way. He was getting something down from his garage and fell on his fender of his Lexus. IS, I think it was, and crushed his fender. So, and what's funny is this guy's loyal, but I did see a dent that he had somebody else try to fix, and then he asked me if I would fix it. So of course I did. I mean, he comes up from San Diego. That's how loyal. And that, if you're not from SoCal, he's driving a good 2 hours each way to use us. And I can't blame him for trying somebody else down there. If he would have found the right guys, I mean, I should tell him. I should tell him about Igor. That would probably save him a lot of time. And Igor is every bit as good as I am, from what I can tell. I mean, his work's exemplary. So maybe that's the play next time. I just need to just send him over to Igor. But it is fun, and I don't miss. I mean, I would miss not having around. It's been kind of cool. But anyway, the week, just lots of train wrecks. What does that mean? And when you do this kind of stuff, at least for me, my skill level, even though I feel like I'm pretty solid, it levels up. It's just like, you know, it's like training, right? You're training for your skills. And I thought I'd be tired. I wasn't tired. I've been doing a lot of physical exercise and lifting and stuff and some cardio. So even those long, long days, 8-10 hour days, of just straight up pushing, right? Usually my forearm, shoulder, whatever. I'm in my 50s, you know. No problem. No problem at all. No soreness. Just like when I would do hail. I mean, you know, after a 10 or 12, 14 hour day of hail, you're either just tired, or sometimes your body physically, you might feel a certain thing. But nah, it was all good. So yeah, train wrecks. We've got some improvements on the facility done. Like I said, the chandelier and some other stuff. And just a whole host of really good clients. We had a pretty busy week. It was good numbers again. So I'm stoked about that. We'll be traveling the next 2 weekends in a row. Like I said, we're in the gauntlet right now, the baseball gauntlet. It'll be going on for about another 2 months, and then it'll be postseason, and that'll be it. And Junior and my whole family basically will be done with college baseball, which is going to be a little bit sad. It's been such a fun ride. If you get the chance to have any of your kids play college sports or even high school, you know, or even just intramural, whatever. It's just so much fun to go and watch them compete, watch them train or try to get better, you know, and then just enjoy it, you know. And it's just win, lose, or draw. It's just, I just think it's so good for them. And as a parent, it's very rewarding to be a spectator. And I don't mean live vicariously through. I mean, if you have kids that don't want to play any sports and they just, I think everybody needs a passion. It could be art, it could be computers, it could be whatever, but I think everybody needs a passion. Without a passion, I think you kind of wander through life aimlessly, and I think that's how people get in trouble. You know, they start gravitating to shit because you'll find a negative passion really fast. So anyway, so on with that. So that's the week. Like I said, next week, hopefully we'll do a podcast from Mississippi because that's where the wife and I will be. The week after that, we'll be back in Baton Rouge the home opener for the SEC conference games. LSU will be playing Florida, which would be good. Florida was originally ranked first. I think they've dropped a little bit, but it should be good. So it's been a lot of fun. Like I said, we've got about another month and a half, and then it'll be postseason, so it's going to come fast. All right, so PDR myths. I've talked about this before, but some things are worth repeating, and this is dang well worth repeating. So we're going to get into it. All right, here we go, kids. 8 PDR myths, and maybe if you play nice, I'll throw in an extra. All right, number one. These are common myths that I think people, especially new to the game, you know, a lot of you have been in the game that listen, all 2 of you. You guys know. You're savvy cats, and you've learned the not so obvious stuff, right? Not, you know, not the commonsensicals, but just kind of the even beyond the common sense stuff. But there might be one or two in here that might be able to slip in, and you might go, but probably not. You may know a lot of these. Now, for the noobs that are either considering to get into the game, we got a lot of people that inquire about training, in which I, by the way, you haven't heard me talk about it a lot. Why? Because I screen a lot of people, and I've been kind of gently pushing people away. I'll either push them out to Bryce, or I'll push them to Mike at Dent Time, anywhere but the evil DK here in SoCal. I won't push people there for a lot of reasons, but there's a lot of good trainers. There's a good handful, I should say, of trainers. I think Mike does a great job down at Dent Time, and I know Bryce does too. So Bryce probably be my favorite if I was going to, you know, especially for advanced stuff, right? But there's a handful of guys that are really good trainers, and those two I have no problem if somebody if I don't think they're a good fit for me, or maybe they're on the East Coast, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we'll probably have a couple sneak in throughout the last part of the year. But yeah, I've definitely, especially with you hear how busy we've been. And that's our focus, you know, growth in the studio, maybe a couple more locations. But anyhow, all right, PDR myths, here we go. Number one, education is not important. So a lot of people, especially early techs or people in business, I think, once they've kind of got their business rolling, they get in the trenches and they're fighting the good fight. You know, they're taking their shots and they're netting fish in the ocean, their new customers, but they're not really concerned or make it a regular mainstay to learn either marketing, customer service, just overall how to grow and scale their business, right? Streamline it, work less, make more, that kind of thing. Those are just so far reaching and so far off the horizon. And I think it's important. I really do. And, like I said, 33 years into the game, I'm not telling you I'm the smartest, you know, hammer in the shed. Matter of fact, I'm pretty dull hammer in that shed, but I've kind of honed my hammer, and I've learned just from osmosis, you know, studying others and watching and having customers tell me the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And it finally hits me on the head. It's like, wait a minute, maybe I should be listening to what these people are telling me. You know, like you're telling me you're not my right client, for example, right? You know, you're telling me, you know, that when you text me for photos and you just gotta have a range, then I already know, you know what? It's not in your budget. You know, you're better off just, let me give you www.craigslist.com, you know, something like that. So education, circling back, learning more about marketing. And there's people who listen to this podcast that are better than me. I mean, and I mean that they devote a percentage of their monthly income and their time and their brain share to level up. And that's what it's about. You know, and I love it. When I was out and I saw my former student 2 weeks ago, we were in Houston. What that kid's accomplished in 4 years is jaw dropping. Absolutely. Pete, and no shade on any of my other students who are listening. You guys have all, I mean, I don't think there's anybody listening to this podcast that I would say, oh, you know, you're kind of a letdown. Not at all. Not at all. And I'm just so fortunate. You know, the people who aren't listening that are former students, guess what? There's some that, I don't want to say let down, but let's just say they're underachieved. How about that? And the ones that do, and then there's some that don't, that are still out there that are kicking ass. I mean, I've got some former students that are running hail teams. You know, they push for a while and then they step back and now they're just freaking sitting in their fat cat mansions, you know, in Minnesota or whatever, Wisconsin, and absolutely just crushing, you know. So education, it's a long answer, long comment on this, but for those of you that are trying to go somewhere, I strongly recommend that you devote 5%, 10%, and you do it as consistently as possible, monthly. Hey, you know what? Are you great at social media? Hey, could your ads be better? Do you have somebody that monitors your website and you're doing testing and you're improving it every month? You're tracking visitors and you're tracking their scrolling and their keystrokes and the clicks, and you need to know you're testing titles and color and all that shit, guys. It matters so much. It really does. It can, you could 2x your income just off of your, you know, the flow of your business, just, you know, electronically, digitally off on the internet. So, and we're so lucky to have the internet, guys. I'm telling you right now, back when I was running my business off of a pager, absolutely sucked. Pull off the side of the road, go make a phone call. Yeah, I have a dent. Go out and a dent was a scratch. I don't know how people call a dent a scratch, but they do. And you can't be mad at them. It's not their business, right? Or it's collision, you know, or the car is totaled sitting in a wad on somebody's front lawn. And you're like, yeah, let me go get my rubber band and you know, popsicle sticks. I'll fix this for you, ma'am. No. So anyway, as I normally do, I'm going a little long. That was just number one out of eight myths. Let's get to number two, so this isn't a 5-hour podcast. Number two, energy. And what do I mean by energy? We all feed off each other. Business is about people. At the core, if you distill everything down, you boil that water in the pan and it goes dry, what's left in the bottom of that pan is energy, isn't it? It is. And so the energy, and I'm not talking spaz. You don't need to be some freaking jittery, you know, weirdo that's just going to freak people out and they're just going to slowly back up like Peter Griffin backing into the hedge on Family Guy. But I mean, you need to have enough energy that you're just 5%, 8% more than the average Joe out there. People take notice of that. And what people do is they're generally, if it's done right, they're generally going to gravitate towards you. They're drawn towards you. Okay, energy is it's infectious. And I don't mean like HIV or some of the other things that, some people have. I simply just mean it's positive. It's good for your personal life. It's good for your professional life. And I can't tell you how to go get it. That's for another episode. But I can tell you that it will reap benefits and rewards for you if you can find out how to level up your energy. And I know that sounds simple. It's almost cliche. You know, I'm not saying, hey, what are you saying, Brian? I need to freaking be doing 1 hour, you know, 5 hour energies every day and coffee. No, you just need to find a way to inspire yourself, maybe just organically, not chemically, but whatever it takes at the end of the day, that's not going to be harmful to your health. Level up, get your energy up a little bit. You'd be surprised. Your tonality, your personal experiences with your clients and loved ones, it's going to be great. So that honestly, that's probably the most important thing. Number two right there out of everything I'm going to tell you. And it's so simple and anybody can do it. Literally anybody can do it. But the key is you got to find your energy. And I can't tell you how to do that. Sorry. That's only for the paid members of this podcast. All right. Number three, new techniques are not important. And the best story I can come up with right now is my brother, who doesn't listen to this podcast, which is just fine. Love him. Trained him in PDR 20, maybe 30 years ago. I forget what he was doing. I think he was working for a car buying service or something. And he's like, hey, yeah, why not? I wouldn't mind learning it. And he wasn't a great student. He wasn't a horrible student, but neither was I. Like, if you guys have listened and you've heard me say it. But he picked it up. He started doing pretty darn good. But as the years went by, I mean, even when we introduced whale tails, guys, we've been doing PDR before whale tails even existed, or lights. You know, we had poles, then we had reflector boards, and then we did lights. So Kevin, my brother, we couldn't get him to glue pull until, I'm going to say, maybe 10 years, not even, probably 8 years ago. And that should tell you, I mean, glue pulling's been around, I think, for over 20 years now. So it's just, is he pooping on the grass? Okay, good. We're on dog alert here, getting ready for the party. Dogs are not allowed to poop near the backyard when the family's going to see it. That's a no-no. All right. I'm going to throw that dog over the fence if he does it. Anyway, not the bulldog. We would never do that. All right, so it's too heavy. 65 pounds of love. Maybe cresting 70 right now. So Kevin, we finally got him to learn glue pulling. And guess what? I mean, he's cold pulling, he's hot pulling, he's doing all kinds of stuff. Is he using screwed-on tips and you know, bigger? Not so much still. But at the end of the day, he's also doing a lot of wholesale. And yeah, they're train wrecks and shit, but he's the money they pay him, I think if you've listened for long enough, you've heard, they pay him like 1995 prices, which he's in a financial situation with his wife that money is not really a premium. Doesn't need to be on his end. He just needs to contribute. And he does. But if he would have learned those techniques earlier is the message. And for all of you, there's a lot of techniques, guys, I guarantee that you still are not using that are out there. Most of you, and including me, there's a couple things that I know I need to kind of get better with. If you care, you'll investigate. You'll always try to level up, right? So it goes back to, it's kind of like a side shoot off of education, right? New techniques. Education's all encompassing. It's everything. It's the physicality of a business. It's also the marketing and administration and all that. So like I said, educate, learn new techniques, make more money, work less hard. All right. This last weekend, when I was doing those repairs, I was still learning stuff. I picked up a couple new techniques and stuff, utilizing lateral with some tension release, which was just, I mean, I'm like, I know what lateral is. I've been doing it for over a decade, but all of a sudden I learned a trick about you know, preventing oil cans and things like that. And I was, because this fender really should have oil canned. I mean, it was gross. It was absolutely gross. And I was under a time crunch because of my son's game. I should have had them drop it off for it like the day before. Excuse me. But I think I had 5 hours to do a dent that was probably rated about 8 to 10. So luckily the shortcuts kind of helped out. But anyway, techniques, number three. Number four, not enough work in my town. My favorite story goes back to about 25 years ago. I'll never forget. I had this student come from Phoenix. He was a sheriff, and he didn't like the violence, and he just wasn't digging the sheriff life, which, hey, I have a neighbor in my town here who was a sheriff, and he quit the force or whatever to become a lawyer, I believe. So, and I think he's happy doing that. So, you know, life is simply distilled down. It's a bunch of decisions you're going to make and choices, right? We're so lucky to have those freedoms where we live, and some places you don't have so much freedom, but here we do. So you went from a cop to an attorney. Why not? Well, this guy, the sheriff out in Phoenix, I trained him. He didn't do too bad, but he just kind of seemed lackadaisical, kind of half into it, half not. And then I remember him calling me like 3 weeks later. He's like, you got anybody that might want to buy these tools? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I just can't get any work. And this, guys, this is like the year 2000, 2002, 2003. I'm like, what do you mean you can't get any work? He's like, yeah, I went to a couple dealers and they said they had some guys. And I'm just like, okay. Thinking to myself, and I basically just gave him the cliche that I think anybody should think about. I said, when you're driving down the 10 out there, and you look at all the cars on the road, do you think that all those guys that actually are PD or customers have a dent guy? They're all set up? He's like, well, no. He's like, but, you know, the dealers said they had guys. It's like, well, there's a lot more than those two dealers out, you know, in the Southwest. I mean, you've got so many different options. There's two auctions out there that are kicking ass with a third being added. You got the rental cars at the airport, you know, and then you got all those wonderful people on the freeways. And on and on and on. I'm like, there's work out there. He's like, yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And I'm just like, okay, that's fair. You know, maybe in your mind you thought it was going to be sunshine and roses and unicorns were going to go galloping past you with the tools handing them to you. And, you know, Fozzie Bear was just going to say, good job. But at the end of the day, yeah, I just dropped a Sesame Street reference. I think that's appropriate. Some people are going to have to work to make money is what it boils down to. And it's not always going to be, you know, like I said, sunshine and unicorns. Some days it's going to be a shit show and poop volcanoes. And you just got to play those cards. You just got to freaking get your poop canoe and paddle through it until you get to clear water, you know? So yeah, he quit, which was kind of a sad thing. So the moral of the story is, yeah, there are some towns where there's more work than others. But unless you're in a farm town, population 500 or something, if you're in a metro city, anywhere USA, there's work. And I don't really care how many techs there are, you can carve out a niche. You could make six figures in my town, 2 miles from me, and we have tons of techs. You could do it in Miami, Orlando, Chicago, pick a city. You know, in this industry, we are mature now, I believe, but we're definitely not saturated. Yeah, there's going to be times, the first hailstorm, you know, a big hailstorm or whatever, people have spent all their nut and they're going out. Yeah, you might see a shit ton of trucks and trailers that first storm until the herd thins out. But far, far and away, there's way more work than there are techs. Still, we are not saturated, like I said, overall. There's exceptions to that rule, but yeah. But also, the subset to this rule is, there are places I've podcasted about this that are better than others. If you're like, Brian, I don't care where I live. I want to go to the best place to have the best life and make the most money. Well, of course, there's a hierarchy of opportunities, no doubt. You know, if you said, you know, I think I want to go to Bangor, Maine or Saskatchewan or something. There might be some better spots. You know, or I want to be a great paintless dent repair tech in Tijuana, Mexico. You know, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be a top dog. The guy in Dallas might trounce you just a little bit, or Pete in Houston. But the area matters. But if you're in a city, you can find the work is what I'm beating to death right now. Number five, the latest, greatest tools, the shiny object syndrome. This coming off MTE, Mobile Tech Expo, I'm sure there was a shit ton of man jewelry out there, wasn't there? Stuff that looked so pretty and people were loading up their Ralph shopping cart, pushing it out to their car just with a big smile on their face, like, man, I'm gonna I'm gonna fucking kick ass with all this new hardware now, man. I'm the man. And to support that idea, if it makes you feel good and you can afford it, why the F not? But there are some people, and I've had some students that just, Steve from Dallas, who has been out to train with me probably 4 or 5 times. And it's not because he's bad. He comes out for a very unique reason, which I can't say on this podcast. But if you remember Steve, you don't remember, he would come out and I'd tell you why you would train. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's a very extracurricular kind of individual. Super nice. Sends me happy birthday, Merry Christmas, all the holidays. Love Steve. Love me some Steve, man. Great, great cat. But he is probably not performing PDR, but if you saw his rig, his car and all of his equipment and light, he has the best of the best. He went out because he was trying to convince himself to do it, I think, ultimately, and just by buying more and more stuff until he finally would fall in love with it. And no, he doesn't do it. He's a sales rep or something like that, like a pharmaceutical sales rep or something like that, I believe. So what does this mean? This means that, like, the guys that came from Colombia that went and pushed hail with toothbrush, the toothbrushes and water. Okay, guys, picture that. They did a hail car. I don't know if I told you guys this story. They pushed all the dents out of a former client of mine, or former students, husband and wife, out of Colorado. They had two guys come from Colombia, and they said, all right, you guys, your hail techs, there's a car over there. Go push the dents. If you're good, we'll hire you. What normally would take one guy one day took two of them 2 weeks. But all they had was a spray bottle and I think a rag and two toothbrushes. I shit you not. And those toothbrushes were their tools, the handles of the toothbrushes. And maybe they had more than two. Maybe they broke and wore down. Or whatever. I don't know. Maybe they have sharper toothbrushes or whatever. You know, I don't know. But they, and the work wasn't great, as you might imagine. But it wasn't bad. She's like, you know, I could sell this wholesale. You know, was it retail? No. The problem was it took them 2 weeks and it was a one-day car. So, and she's like, I let them go. And I said to her, I go, yeah, I'm on a dirt road here right now with the story. I said, why didn't you bring them in and get them trained? They're two-thirds of the way there. She's like, oh, I didn't even think of that. I'm like, shit, do you have their numbers? No. Oh, my God. So, yeah, if you're working with toothbrushes, I think I'm going to give you the license. It's okay to go buy some tools, is what I'm saying. But if you think that everything you see on Instagram and TikTok or whatever online, you know, you're reading on a YouTube video about a tool review, you know, site or something, just temper yourself is what I'm saying. I think ultimately I'd move more towards education and getting smarter instead of buying more SOS. That's what I'm saying. Number six, location doesn't matter. That kind of goes back with not enough work in my town. Location does matter, okay? It's like size matters and location matters to a point, right? And that's actually a pretty symbiotic analogy right there. You really should consider where you're working and what your goals are, you know, for both if you have a family, your lifestyle, and then, of course, financially. You know, when I was down talking to Pete, I'll bring Pete up again. Decent weather. I'm sure it's going to be hot as ass later this year and humid and all that. But there was plenty of work around him. He had competition. I've seen other guys online, and they don't seem to be fighting. You know, people can get fed. There's places to go and work. You know, what's your goal? Are you looking to have great weather? Okay. Maybe parts of Florida or like northern Florida or the south, not too humid, hopefully. You know, or California is nice. You know, even central northern Cal is pretty decent. Prescott, Arizona is not too bad. I mean, there's a lot of places where there's decent weather and you could probably make a good living, you know, if weather is your goal. But if it's money, throw the weather idea out the window and either keep yourself warm or cool, whatever, and go kick some ass and go where the big money is. Okay, I wouldn't say that Dallas has the best weather, and there's a shit ton of techs there, by the way, but a lot of those guys make really good money. Denver used to be that way, although hail's kind of thinned out there because of some of the weather changes on the Front Range. But there's pockets. Like Cheyenne, Wyoming. I think it has the most reported hail annually. And yeah, there's probably half a dozen, maybe a dozen PDR companies there. Could they take one more on? Yeah, I bet you they could. So anyway, location does matter. So number seven, social media is an easy way for money. No, No, and a lot of you like to post social media posts just for the fun of it, and that there's nothing wrong with that. Anything's going to make you happy, you know, within reason. It's not going to take too much away from your time for your business. Sure, why not? But are you going to make great money? Probably not. The amount of following you have to have, you know, it is insane. It's pretty intense to make it a viable marketing channel to drive customers your way. Is it good for brand? Sure. Is it good for a sales tool like an online brochure? Sure. Very, very well, very much so. But to build your social media and the time and the effort and the money versus other channels, you could grow much faster and have much more impact. To me, it still doesn't make sense. You have to be at a much higher level to then decide, okay, we've done all these other things that are much more impactful and they're going to move the lever. Then I'm going to do social media, not the other way around. So if you're doing posts on social media for the sake of having fun or to build your brand just for an online brochure to drive people to, thumbs up. If you're doing it because you want to make money, double thumbs down with my toes pointing down too. Number eight, don't do the boring things. So many people think that the little things don't matter. Okay, following up with a customer, requesting a review, changing your website every 3 months or improving it or testing. You know, those are just a handful. I just sputtered out right now. I just spit into the microphone for you. Let me wipe this off. It's all of, I did that 100 or 1,000 golden BBs, which I lifted off of Hormozy. That's one of his sayings. Those things matter. And each one of them individually don't matter, but if you compile them all cumulatively, you could 2x, 3, 4, 5x your business. You know, and it's not just about money, but it's also about reduction of time. Don't, and headaches. Do you want headaches? Who wants to have shitty clients that you have to haggle with all the time and they're bringing shitty cars to you? Or you're a plumber and you have crappy customers that you're doing freaking clogged toilets when you could be out making the big money doing repipes or commercial. I mean, I have a plumber friend who just repiped our house, as a matter of fact, and that's how I, unfortunately, am becoming an expert at plumbing. It's been an expensive education, I will tell you that. I should have gone to plumbing college. But plumbing university, PU. Get it? You get where that was pretty good, huh? At least I thought it was. I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one, like it stinks. You see what I'm saying? Anybody? Is this room empty? Tap on the mic. Anyway. Shit, did I lose my train of thought? Yeah, I think I did. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It sucks that we had to do all the plumbing. Oh, I was going to talk about his clients, how much money he makes. So Abe's his name. And he's doing like 1.2 to 1.5 with two guys. And it's because he's a good marketer. He's not going after the shitty clients. He's learned who his good clients are. And that's the direction he's moving in. He's been doing it for a grip now. He's not, you know, 2 years in. I think he's 15 years in, maybe 20, maybe 25. I think he's 45 years old. So he makes great money. He's making over $1 million a year. And he's not doing little toilet, you know, clogs or hose bib change out. He'll do it for us because we're friends. But I think for the most part, if anybody calls, he's looking for the big fish, just like we are. So do the boring things. Learn how to just do incremental wins, and you'll thank me for it. You know, like I said, you know, follow-up calls with clients, chat with clients, just chat them up to make a connection, compliment them, compliment their cards, just little things like that. If you have like a little list, you'd be surprised how much it'll move the lever. I'll give you an example. I chatted it up with this guy. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This last weekend, we did a Lexus RX, did a couple dents, did some scratches, bumper, $1,800 bill. I have my Gretsch hollow body in the foyer, in the entryway, and he's a guitarist too. So we were talking a little bit about guitars, and I chat him up and said, oh, you got, that's a great guitar you got there. Yeah, kick ass, blah, 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 rock on, high five, see you. And when he comes in, I'm not even there, and my son's collecting the payment. He gives $200 on an $1,800 bill. Gave us $1,800, yeah, not like a you know, currency bill, but the invoice, $1,800, gave us $2,000. That is what I'm talking about. And that makes my wife pissed because she's a hairstylist and she hardly ever gets $200 tips. We do. And I'm not saying she's not good at what she does. I'm saying she's great at what she does. Could she be better? I'll let that just kind of roll. We'll see. Oh, gosh, she's got good hearing. But she's good. So, anyway, Yeah, $200 tip, and only because I spent maybe 4 minutes just chatting up with the guy, connected with him, and that was it. Drop the mic, roll applause, right? Standing O right there. All right, bonus one. That was 8. Let's get into 9. Last one here, and then we'll wrap. Okay, happiness isn't important in my business. At the beginning, I would have said, no, of course it's not. And that's probably a good attitude to have. I think when you're in your 20s or whatever and you're just starting up, no, money's important. Customers are important, of course. But once you kind of crest a certain part and you got a little more maturity, aka old as F, me, you start to see the bigger picture. The unicorns start to kind of gallop more slow. The glitter in the sky is kind of falling a little more slowly. You know, you start to hear the music a little bit, and you're like, you know what? Just slowing down a little bit, having a little more fun, creating an aesthetic. I mean, we like to play music where we work. We like to wear clothes that are comfortable, that hopefully look a little tiny bit professional. We definitely like to do good work and treat our customers great. But all the while, we want to have a good time. We want to have fun. And I didn't think that fun was important. If you said, Brian, what's the ranking of fun on top 10, top 20 priorities as you start your business? I go, dude, it doesn't even rank, bro. Fun? What am I, some little bitch? Now I would say fun is probably number 2. You know, yeah, we have to make money, number 1, take care of clients, blah, 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 blah. But right after that, and is it a financial related question? Of course it is. But I think that as you guys grow your businesses, I think FUN should be near the top. You gotta have a good time, because it's a one-time trip around this party wagon. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, aside from having to pay your bills, what the hell are you doing, right? You know, do something else if you can pay your bills then, you know, or make it fun. And I'm not saying there's not other jobs that, you know, or careers, businesses you could have that wouldn't be more fun. But if you turn the tap and do things within it, contests or whatever, music, the aesthetic, you could have, I mean, I told you about the chandelier. That's more for us than it is the clients, really. It's just so we feel like we're walking in and working in a fancy place. My partners and coworkers, I want them to feel that they're working at a nice joint, and that reflects back through their work. I mean, I'm only partly stupid. I'm not fully stupid, you know? So if everybody enjoys and feels respectable where they work, maybe they'll continue to do respectful work. Makes sense. There's a fish market up in Seattle I've never been to. And I remember reading a story a couple decades ago. And these guys, they're fishmongers, whatever. They basically just pack fish and sell fish. And it's right on in the port somewhere. It's famous now. And partly because of the way that these guys and gals work in there. They throw fish to each other, and they throw them to the clients too, I think. It's just, they have fun, they play music. It's just a lively, you know, environment. And there's contests, whatever. And people go just to see these fish being thrown and stuff, and then they buy a fish, blah, 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 have a great time. And it kicks ass. But it's just, the idea, whoever started it, is just packing fish and the smell and the work and the juices and getting there probably 3 or 4 a.m. or something. That doesn't, to many people, including me, that doesn't sound like a big party. That ain't Disneyland. But if you can put a spin on it and turn that into something that, it's all about the way you frame your beliefs. You know what I'm saying? So that guy or gal, whoever owned that business, changed the frame. And then all of a sudden, you know, yeah, this was a shitty place to work. And now, guess what? People are fighting to work here. So there's a lesson there for all of us. It's about our beliefs. And if you're in a situation, it goes much more far-reaching than what I'm talking about. If you're in a situation in your life that you might think is negative, you know, or just bad, if you change your perspective, your belief, your frame of your belief, you can actually take it as something positive or actually fun, you know, which is weird. It's the way our minds work. It's just insane. And you might say, well, I'm kind of tricking myself, Brian. Yeah, maybe you are. What's the problem? You know, as long as you're happy, like I said, it goes back to fun again. So think about that. I mean, that's a tall order, I know, but if you really just sat down and brainstormed, you know, or I call it for myself, brainstorming, you know, some ideas of how you can reframe your beliefs and things that you could do with your business, you could actually create a business that's incredibly fun, that you rise out of bed if you don't already, and your feet don't even touch the ground. You just float out of the house and go into the 100, you know, feet off the ground mode, where you fly to work in your mind, and you're just so looking forward to just kicking ass that day and having fun. And I'm not going to tell you every day is that way with us, But it's definitely gotten better from when I first started. I enjoy, for the most part, what I do. And some days immensely, you know, and it's just, it's framing beliefs and creating that environment, you know that I'm going to enjoy, and hopefully the people around me will enjoy it. And if I'm not, you know, I'm older than most of you, I'd say, maybe venture to say all of you, and I know that I won't be doing this for a whole lot more time. So as I get close to winding down, I mean, shit, Pete said he's going to hang up his cleats in five more years. That kid hasn't even hit 30. You know, God love him. You know, and we'll see if he can. I mean, it's just a thought, you know. It's a seed he's planting, and why not? You know, maybe he's got other things he wants to do. And financially, if he's able to do that, rock on, Pete Sandoval, Cruz PDR, you know, Aerodent, Houston's, or Cypress, Texas. So, anyway, I don't mean to pick on Pete. I'm picking on him in a good way. I don't even think I'm picking on him. I'm just bringing him up, but I could substitute so many other former students in here. It's not even funny. A lot of you guys are just awesome. So anyway, love you all. Appreciate the ears and the eyes and all that. Enjoy my birthday today. Yes, I appreciate the gift. The gift from you is the one that doesn't have a name on it. I know. Thank you for that gift. And have a great day on behalf of me. And we'll catch you on the next SAI Service Marketing Podcast. Bye-bye for now.